Hello, and welcome to a VO's Journey podcast. My name is Anthony Pica, and this show is all about helping the new and upcoming voiceover artists grow their business and sidestep all the crazy things that I seem to step on. We are back with an exciting episode. I believe this is episode number 233, and we have David Ciccarelli from Voices.com. We're going to be interviewing him on this episode about the state of VO in 2022 and the massive article they just came out with all kinds of detail and stats. You know, I love statistics and some really cool stuff from David's perspective, and to see we can help out some more voice actors, right, in 2022. All right, so without further ado, let's do it.
This is VO's Journey. With your host, the incomparable Anthony Pica.
All right, I am joined by none other than David Ciccarelli, the CEO of Voices.com. David, it is an honor to have you back on the show. Welcome, my friend.
Great to be here, Anthony. I think it's been just over a year since we connected last on the podcast.
And
you've kept it growing all the time and inspired a whole new generation of talent getting into the business. So thanks for that.
Oh, well, thank you. And it was an honor to work with you and interview you in the last podcast we did. And I'm excited to get going in 2022 and talk about a lot of things that Voices is doing, especially this article that you guys came out with. So first, of course, it's a shameless plug, but it was an honor to be, voted as one of the in the top 10 trusted coaches. I'm blown away and honored by that of the voiceover community. Thank you all. And I think it's really cool that you guys did that in your article. So thank you for that.
Yeah, no, that was I was definitely going to bring that up. Not lost on me for sure. But for those who might not be aware, what Anthony's being, you know, modest and talking about is we'd actually conducted a survey of the community, and in which we had, you know, almost 2,000 respondents, 1,700 respondents. And one of the questions was, who do you trust most for voiceover training and advice? And there were actually 674 names.
Wow.
That came up. So they're, wow, you know, acting coaches, a lot of people, yeah, saying, you know, everything from like my parents, my brother, my sister, but who, a lot of acting coaches, right? People, mm-hmm, in business. But those, the names that came up the most that were 10 and Anthony was in the top five. But to rhyme them off, Bill DeWeese, Nancy Wolfson, Bev Standing, Anthony Pica, Terry Daniel, Linda Bruno, Anthony Reese, Steve Blum, Kristen Freeman, and Mary Workman. So those are kind of the top 10. And so what you maybe didn't realize, it was out of 674, wow, recommendations as well, too. So I think you got, wow, quite the following out there.
That's amazing. It's so wonderful. And to be included in a group, some amazing people on that list. So it really is an honor. And but thank you for putting that together. It's nice to, you know, it's always wonderful to help people. It's also nice to see, you know, that you might be helping make a difference. So thank you for that, my friend. I wanted to dive in because this article that you guys put together, the 2022 State of Voiceover, there's a lot of amazing stuff in it. And I want to kind of kick it off, you know, with the first thing you guys talk about in the article is the career goals for voice actors in 2022. I'm really interested, kind of dive into, you know, what you came up with, what you found, and your thought process behind this.
Yeah, well, really, I mean, we're, you know, using as kind of and trying to put the information out there, I think, in twofold. One, you know, perhaps provide an encouragement that irrespective of where you are on your own journey, mm-hmm, that there's an entire, you know, cohort of other people within the community facing the same challenges at the same stage, also probably having, you know, some of the same successes okay, as you are. So we're trying to just, you know, provide some visibility into hey, how much should I be investing in my recording studio? Do I need coaching? You know, should I get coaching now, maybe later? How many demos do I need to have? All of these kinds of questions was really to serve as a like a level setting, if you will. But then also, you know, for us, just to understand how can, you know, the team at Voices provide, you know, further content? Are there gaps in how we're communicating, maybe information that people are looking to learn a lot more about? So there was that, you know, internal, you know, kind of from a company perspective, that was a learning opportunity as much for us as it was, I think, for the rest of the community.
No, I love that. And the first, as being a voice actor and then also now, you know, working a lot in coaching, the first sense you guys have that 64% of voice actors want to grow more than 50%, but have yet to invest in coaching. Really is, I mean, that doesn't shock me, of course, but I do think that goes to show you just, you know, the people not fully knowing, you know, like you don't know what you don't know. And I think that goes, that's a big part. One of the biggest things when I first started that if there was any regrets that I had was not working with a coach. Just because of the time it took me. I mean, you know, there's no doubt you could make it, but the time it takes you, you know, you work with coaching, you pay like places like Voices too, in order to get back that time. Cause it takes years, or you can work with somebody who helps you skip over that. So I like that.
It's reducing the learning curve, right? Mm-hmm. It's like somebody's gone there ahead of you. They've plotted a path. They've identified where all the rocks are and where the poison ivy is, and also where the swinging branches are, where you can skip over and hop, skip, and a jump over the river or the creek to get to the other side a lot faster. So you're absolutely right. So there's a almost like half the community has yet to invest in coaching, despite they want to. The other, you know, but there's a, you know, the other half, you know, has, and they're making it a top priority. So I think there's this acknowledgement that people should, just like you say, maybe it's from folks hearing from you that are like, oh, geez, I wish I invested more in coaching. And most people who have matured in their career or their craft, myself included, you know, as a business executive, realizing now, wow, I should also be investing in executive coaching or further training.
Right.
Yeah, natural talent, I think, is a great place for people to start, and anyone that's interested in a career in voice acting. However, the impact of training is, that can really be pretty significant. Just a couple quick data points on Voices alone. The voice talent who list that they've received coaching on their profile, they're actually making 13% more on a job by job basis. So they've been almost like coach. Hey, here's a way to quote. Here's, they also have more confidence in kind of putting forth a quote out there. And then the volume of work, they're booking 21% more jobs. Wow. So I think that's pretty meaningful. If you're getting, you know, 20% more jobs because the information that the coach is providing you with.
No, that's great numbers. I love that. You're right. I mean, there's confidence, there's understanding of, like you said, the quote, but it's also, I find too, there's a lot of times that it comes across in the way you speak to the people, the way you communicate, you know, also the speed at which and the confidence that comes across. So there's all kinds of benefits there. So I like that. That's a good numbers. I'm always for stacking the odds in my favor. Yeah.
So yeah.
I think that's really good.
So speaking of which, one of the things that this is actually from a separate, survey that we'd done a couple of years ago, but I figured I'd pull it in here because it still relates to coaches. Mm-hmm. We actually asked our coaches that we had been working with at that time, and 3/4 of them said that they get coaching themselves at least on an annual basis. So I don't know if you find that amongst kind of the people that you work with, are, you know, are you almost like sharpening your own saw every now and then, or maybe
I've kind of alluded to this occasionally, but I'll tell the listeners exactly. So right now I actually work with multiple people. I work with the coaching, but it varies. So what I mean by, like, I have a business consultant
that I work with that is dedicated completely to growing my business, not necessarily it's not voice acting, as a business consultant. Then I work with, I have content creators, curriculum consultants for the academy that we have. And I've worked with people like Sean Pratt, or I've worked with some audiobook people, Scott Brick. I worked with Scott Brick. Yep. I've worked with a lot of different people, but as I've gone through, you're absolutely right. I find that it's like now it's way more important for me to work with people and find the right people to work with, as opposed to me stumbling through trying to find it, because the time it takes to do it and the mistakes is more costly than it is for me to work with somebody. You know what I mean? So, and I think that investment, one thing on coaching, I'm not trying to do all the talking because we're here to interview you, but
this is a great combo.
The one thing on coaching that I think people, that I know for me is challenging, because I think a lot of people, yes, there is the money aspect, absolutely. And we all people, everyone has a budget, but I do think it comes down to confidence in yourself. So I always said, you know, whenever I paid for coaching, no matter the price, it was always based on either A, that person has knowledge that I need, and by me paying them, I'm betting on myself that I can take that knowledge and be successful. Mm-hmm. But see, that's scary for people, right? Because then people have to say, well, listen, that means that if they give me the knowledge and I pay for it and I screw up, have I wasted my money? But we don't admit that out loud to people, right? Because that's an internal thing, right? And if I'm paying for something, that means I got to have enough faith and confidence in myself that that information I get is actually going to be success. You know, I'm going to be successful with it. And it's a scary thing, you know, and that takes a while to be confident. So just like anything else, you got to rip off the Band-Aid and go for it.
I think it's important for those listening to hear that there are different types of coaches.
Yes.
There are the business coach, there's a performance coach, there's, you know, maybe someone to coach on the technical aspects as well too. Yes. So, you know, learning to first understand which area of the overall craft you want to be improving, and then finding the right person on that. It's not all performance.
No,
some
it's
of
not.
It, you know, so, some of it is going to be like that business consulting, that you know, even kind of just simple things like a framework around setting goals, which is often a lot of coaching is going to start there. What are you looking to get out of this? And having that up front. Now, if it really does come down to like when we asked, hey, you know, if there was this particular skill that you wanted to learn more, it actually aligns with the type of performances that that people wanted to, that they're seeing in terms of the jobs on voices.com. Narrator, which is interesting. You brought up kind of the Scott Bricks and the Sean Pratts of the world, who are the, you know, preeminent kind of audiobook narrators.
Right.
You know, if it's character development, or if there's, you know, how do I sound more believable, or this kind of real person kind of like, then find somebody who can pull that out for you and who either excels in that themselves, who can pass it, on. So, you know, don't just work with the first coach because someone else said that they liked them. I'd encourage you, maybe you can watch again. Most people have YouTube videos or podcast episodes, listen. And if you connect with them, you're like, yes, I totally jive with what they're saying. You know, we have a shared belief system, if you will. You're probably going to get a lot more about it, out of that engagement.
No, I absolutely correct. I completely agree with you. I mean, you've got to be able to have that relationship with the person you're working with. So I think that we've kind of been talking about the next one, which is, you know, the talent, developing the skills. But I think it's really cool. Could you like tell us about what you guys found was most requested roles? You started to allude to it a little bit, the most requested roles in 2021.
Yeah, for sure. So we've got, you know, these are for every job posting that's on Voices, there's a category of work. Think of it like an online video, a radio commercial, an audiobook. Those would be categories of work. And then there's the role. So just like, you know, what role is this character performing? And the number one role that we saw was this quote unquote real person. Think of it as like the guy or gal next door, your friendly neighbor, someone who's kind of in the know, that just is, it's very conversational in terms of the style of the read. So that was the top one, followed by narrator, any kind of specific kind of character work. There's a lot of video game work. Even sometimes yes. audiobooks are, you know, you have to be able to perform different characters mm-hmm. in there, almost like an audio drama, if you will.
Yeah.
And then the announcer, you know, less so, but it was definitely in the top five. And then instructor, so much conversation, yeah. Educational content where it does, you know, they want the person to be the instructor who's knowledgeable and trustworthy, right. yet has some authority to say, listen, this is the information you need to know. I'm kind of passing it off. So it's like the role is the instructor or the guide on that type of information. Yes. So these are the type of almost like characters right. that you as a voice actor, if you nail those kind of like three or four I mentioned, yeah. you're going to be able to cover the vast majority of the work that's out there and being able to be kind of flexible to almost like, I would imagine, Anthony, you probably have like a go-to voice in your head and like, oh yeah, this is my announcer voice. This is my instructor yes. voice. This is my like friendly guy next door voice.
Absolutely. And references are a great way to be able to recall something, especially as a voice actor, since you might end up doing you might be doing one voiceover, you're doing this kooky character with a high-pitched voice, and the next voiceover, you're trying to do, you know, this low-pitched welcome video where you're the guy next door. I mean, completely different, and you've got to be able to switch in between. So references are actually very helpful as well. Videos, YouTube videos where you can reference a voiceover that helps get that piece, that voice in your mind. No, but I think that's absolutely great. But I do think that the one thing too that as our listeners that I learned is that the guy and gal next door is also deceiving. What I mean by that is that's what people are looking for, the real person. But a lot of times, you know, I learned quickly that I don't talk to other people the way I narrate real person. Okay. So like that, you know what I mean? Like you and I, the way we're talking, I'm not going to do a voiceover that way. However, the way I am, but what I always thought people were looking for is for you to be, yes, you, but with the confidence, with the emotional, with the emotion or the specifics that they give you, right? So basically they want you to be you. Like, so David, if I was hiring you for voiceover, I'd want you to be, you know, welcoming, right? Mm-hmm. To this place, this ski resort that you've never been and you've never seen, right? However, you might be like, I don't welcome people to ski resorts, but I want to be, but I got to be real about it. But I also want me to be excited and welcoming and friendly. So that means you have to show confidence. And a lot of times people don't have that voice yet. It is a character. They have to learn it and work on it. So what I love about this, and I was going to ask you the next question, is, you know, what I love about this is it gives people an idea of what they should be working on.
Yeah.
Right. How can voice actors, besides what we were talking about, maybe on voices, how can voice actors capitalize on this data?
Well, I think one thing is if this is an area you want to work on, I think be willing to also do the auditions in these areas, right? I mean, mm-hmm. there's a longstanding line in the industry that the auditioning is the work, right? That's the real hustle of it. So I think one area to look out for is like, if you see jobs that are calling for this character, mm-hmm. View it as an opportunity to get better and better.
Yeah.
Now clients are giving artistic direction, as I said, for this kind of real person role, the style, because you can be a real person, but then the style is sarcastic. The style is mean. It's like, no, we don't want to be what we're seeing is the combination of real person who, as he says, friendly, conversational, believable, engaging. Those are the styles of performance. So I would kind of keep your yes. eye out for those and try to imagine how you can, deliver that read. Now, where mm-hmm. they're going to show up. I touched on this earlier, were the job categories, right? There's 12 categories of work on a voiceover job on voices. But the top one are online videos, which, I mean, there's a whole host of reasons for this. It was 38% of all the jobs were online videos. And it's because if you think of your own social media feed or, mm-hmm. The shelf life of an online video, whether it's kind of organic or it's a paid advertisement. Most people just want to see these once. They're very short-lived campaigns, and therefore the brand that's publishing it, it's producing it, they tend to kind of create 10 or 20 at once, and then and they only use them for like 1 or 2 weeks at a time. Right. Then it's kind of on to the next one. So there's just this huge volume of online online videos. We also saw the other job that was jobs again reported by Talent. That they're doing the most of would be audiobook narration.
Right.
And even within audiobooks, yes, there's a whole, you know, number of genres of audiobook, but even they're starting to see these short form audiobooks where they're not the 9 hour, you know, monsters. Yeah. They're like 30 minutes, 60 minutes, almost episodic, if you will, mm-hmm. in nature. And then a variety. And so that was 20% of the work. And then another 20%. And rounding out these top three were video games.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's lots of characters within video games. They can be, you know, games for an iPad or an iPhone or a smartphone. They're not necessarily the AAA
right.
Electronic Arts exactly. games.
Yeah.
There's sometimes it just needs a character that's, you know, kind of developing, and there might even be kind of new levels within the game being released every month or every quarter. And so they kind of have to keep going back to that actor to either, you know, continue the storyline
yeah.
or provide a different voice for a different character altogether. So those are kind of the, if you kind of think of this combination of the roles and combined with the type of jobs, that's starting to paint a bit of a picture of areas where you might want to consider developing your own skills in 2022.
I totally agree. What I love also about this is I think, you know, so many voice actors, we want to get that, you know, BMW job or that, you know, 15-second, 30-second job that, you know, is for some Fortune 500 company, you know, that is very few and far between. The bulk of the work that helps you be a working voice actor, someone who can make money and sustain a life, are these right here. Right. Mm-hmm. That's the bulk of the work. And I see that you've got the e-learn now, online ads. I mean, that's kind of a thing that, you know, so much, I guess, can be kind of put under online ads. So it's probably a big category, but also maybe I don't know how easy it is to really distinguish.
It's admittedly a little bit of a catch-all. We have a few of these categories, which we are fine tuning, frankly, as we speak, because we had one for the last 15 years, just called business.
Right.
And it was more like, you know, it was like corporate. I think we meant originally corporate training videos, but it ended up just being, oh yeah, I'm a business. I'm going to click business as a category.
Right.
So it kind of became a little bit, you know, useless in terms of a category. And really what we want to do on behalf of the talent is try to capture the right information so that it can be priced the right way, so the talent can deliver an audition that meets the expectations of the clients. Yeah. So you're right. Online ads, that can be everything from a YouTube video that's promoted. It could be a Instagram reel that's, you know, where again, it's boosted or promoted with a media spend behind it. Could be a Spotify ad. So we haven't yet taken it to the granularity of where it's going to air, mostly because when we've asked the clients, they actually don't know. They're like,
yeah,
I'm just producing the ad at this point. It's going to be an ad. I don't know all the places it's going to show up.
Yeah.
Therefore, you know, we try to actually provide a rate guide, as I know you have one as well. Yeah. There's one on voices.com/rates, which we've just taken our own data of jobs that have actually been completed through the marketplace and, you know, put some ranges around it that just give a bit of a sense of like, hey, roughly speaking, client, here's what you should be expecting to pay, be budgeting to pay, but also talent. Hey, here's how much these jobs go for. Mm-hmm. There's a lot in online ad. You're absolutely right, Anthony. And perhaps we can kind of drill it down. It'd be a good project for us next year. The more information, the better. But we also don't want to make it so onerous that the client just doesn't know and then doesn't end up posting their job. So,
well, no, I totally agree. I mean, because when I talk to people too, and I structure that category, it's the same sort of thing. It's kind of like, well, that's the bulk of the work that I do, but I don't, you know, classifying it because it can be all over the place. So, and some of these things, especially when it comes to explainer videos, e-learning, narration, sometimes they can really get mixed together, but they all turn out to be some sort of ad or something to where they're promoting something. So, I mean, mm-hmm. there is a kind of a catch-all type of a filter. I'm really actually excited about talking about this next section in here, because I'm seeing a lot of new voiceover or online voiceover agencies pop up, completely surrounded or completely around diversity and inclusivity in voiceover. And I think in today's atmosphere, your percentage on here said a whopping 86% of voice actors responded that, you know, they are seeing a lot more requests and looking to incorporate more diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I think that in the voiceover community, I think that, you know, we can continue to do more for this as well. And I think so I'm interested to hear your take on this, and that you guys put this in here. I thought this was really cool because, you know, not a lot of people talk about it. I don't know why. I've worked with many different voice actors from across the spectrum, and, you know, there's place for all of us in voiceover, and quite frankly, we're all needed. So mm-hmm. So talk to me about, you know, just your thoughts behind this, what you came, you know, just how all this came to be, and then what where you see this fitting in.
Mm-hmm. I think the takeaway here is clients want to hire somebody who sounds like the audience they're trying to reach.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to repeat that. Clients want to hire somebody like the very people they're trying to reach.
Right.
And where that, you know, the obvious ones are around language and accent. Mm-hmm. And so if I am, and again, a brand advertiser, I'm trying to market a product or service into a certain geography, mm-hmm. or, you know, I'm going to make sure I'm doing my best to hire somebody from that part of the world, or mm-hmm. who speaks the language, who has the accent, so that when people hear the voice, they go, this person sounds like me.
Right.
And what have we learned also through research is that people buy from people who they know, like, and trust, but also they buy from people who sound like them.
Yes.
And because there's almost this like built-in affinity. Yes. So whenever we see this, this notion, and I mean, it's really around, you know, around the kind of like the richness in the variety, of yes. talent that's available. I think clients are learning that they can become more specific if that's meaningful to them.
Yes.
And then maybe just kind of, you know, going one level deeper, it's that there is this desire for authenticity. Mm-hmm. They don't want to hire somebody who can pretend to be a certain, have a certain accent, or who can pretend to be from a certain part of the world.
Yes.
And they actually want to hire the real person. And it goes back mm-hmm. to this real person idea.
Right.
And so that's what I think what we're seeing. And for exceeding clarity, I mean, that when we saw, you know, when we asked in kind of the comments of like, well, what are the types of diverse roles? It would be even just more roles for women.
Yes.
That was kind of like that was a big one. More roles for people of my age.
Yes.
Because, you know, after, you know, there's, it's not that every role is for a, you know, an 18 to 35 year old. No, there are people, if you're, you know, mature or elderly, and mm-hmm. that is the audience you're trying to reach.
Yes.
You want to hire somebody who sounds like somebody who has a mature voice and who's, and that they identify with. I think that's the key takeaway there.
No, I love it. I totally agree. And I think no matter, and this goes back to the thing that you just don't know what you don't know. No matter where you're from, who you are, what you identify as, you know, where you're from in the world, there is a place for you, and your voice is needed because we are not alone. I think you nailed it on the head. I've worked with a lot of people who have come to me, voice actors, said, listen, I don't know, do I have a place in voiceover? You know, my experiences, who I am, I don't know, will people, you know, am I going to be accepted, or, you know, is it going to be like this? And the answer is absolutely yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are people, but you're never going to know unless you put yourself out there. So I do like that you guys put this in here, because I think it is now more than ever important for us to be who we are and, you know, to get ourselves out there, because people are going to be looking for, you know, us. So I think that's a really good, a good part in there.
Let's talk about putting yourselves out there and the work of doing those number of auditions daily. We looked at our own data of the talent who are auditioning, kind of grouping talent, if you will, by tiers of earnings just through the platform. Okay, and what we found was that those talent who audition seven or more times per day. Mm-hmm. are earning $20,000 a year more than the talent who are auditioning less than seven times a day. So that's kind of the golden number, is seven times a day. That's a pretty big kind of tipping point. But if you're if you're in a routine of doing seven auditions a day, $20,000 on the year, that's probably just kind of year one. Maybe there's other clients that you're getting, they're coming back to you as well. And so think about that in terms of the number of auditions per day. What do you see, maybe, Anthony, just anecdotally, number of auditions you hear people doing per day?
So I mean, what I'm seeing more and more of now with a lot of people on Voices too is, you know, that number, depending on when you're, as you're first starting. I actually did a challenge on this a while ago, right? See how many auditions we can get a day. But I'm seeing, you know, people between 60, 70 auditions a week, and they're getting a job. And I think that now there's going to be some people who are like, I did 200 auditions and I just got a job. Or there's going to be people like, I did three auditions and I got a job. There's always going to be the outliers. But I've noticed that, you know, if you are, and there's a couple things to note here, I would say too, if you're auditioning consistently, you know, if there is a problem with your auditioning, you're going to get better. But that's basically, and I'm starting to see a lot more people, well, you know, maybe as my influence grows too, but I'm starting to see a lot more people getting work on Voices, a lot more people being more consistent, I think, with their auditioning. But that's kind of what I'm seeing from a standpoint of, per job. But here's the thing, doesn't matter whether it's on Voices, I think, or it's Fiverr or anywhere else, when you get a job, the first couple, that's why you see a lot of people who either are top rated sellers on Fiverr or Voices or any of these other places, it does take you a couple of years to build up a clientele. So what happens is that clientele will come back to you and come back to you and come back to you. So where it seems like you're getting all this work through a platform, and you are, the reality is that, you know, you built up over time work that then feeds, right, more work. And it's like, I always say, it's a snowball effect. That's why you got to get yourself out there as much as possible. So I'm definitely seeing people getting work with Voices, which I'm very excited about. But I do think, and that's why I was talking to you about before this, is that I do see a lot of people, you know, saying, well, I did X, like they're maybe not sure. You know, if I did 70, 60 auditions and I didn't get a job, something's wrong with me, you know, or I'm not, like, this is not working. Voices doesn't work. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's probably something that you guys probably have to tackle on a daily basis. How do you keep people engaged when it's like, listen, this is bulk auditioning here. You got. And I think what we just covered in the diversity thing too, is the reality is that I always said, you know, I'm never going to be cast as an actor. I was never going to be cast as like a 6'4" basketball player. That's just not me. I'm like 5'8", you know, not basketball kind of guy. So, you know, like, I'm just never going to be cast like that. Not because I'm a poor actor. It's just because I'm not specifically what they are looking for. You know what I mean? And I think that that's also something to take in consideration. So I don't know. Maybe talk a little bit about, you know, that thing that you guys go through with Voices.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there is a way of measuring this actually, which is the audition to booking ratio. It's kind of the known key performance indicator, sometimes called a KPI or the metric or that measure of success. And knowing your audition to booking ratio, the number of auditions that you do until you get that, you know, until you get a job, you know, the lower ratio, the better. So when you start, it might look like for a beginner, 100 to 1.
Right.
Now, I wouldn't wait to do 100 auditions before checking in maybe with a coach to be like, hey, I lobbed in 25 auditions. Can you take a listen? So there are definitely, that is a worthwhile investment of your time to be able to work with a coach to say, here are the first 5 auditions I did.
Yes.
Let's listen through these together. And the, and before you go and do the next 95. So, you know, listen to those first 5 with the coach. I would do a couple checkpoints, 25, 50, 75, 100. What we see is about basically around that 100 to 1 for beginners. Now, these are people without acting experience, or they're really just getting going. Because the other part is, you might also, you know, so I didn't say there's the beginners entering the industry, but there's also people who are, you know, call it from industry, but maybe historically never had a home studio.
Yes.
They're a great on stage or on camera performer, but particularly during the pandemic, a lot of talented people no longer were performing in a theater. They set up a small home studio. They want to have a go at it. They're actually having to learn how to do virtual auditions and record an audition themselves.
Yeah.
And so again, hence, it's not the 100 to 1 isn't necessarily a reflection of your voice or capability. There's other factors that you need to learn as well. I would say an intermediate where you're starting to kind of, hone your craft, 50 to 1 is very reasonable.
Right.
The pros are doing 20 to 1 or better. I've seen 7 to 1. I've seen 12 to 1. The other thing that I would say that distinguishes the pros are that they are highly selective over which 20 they actually go after. Mm. Right. If you're not a good fit, why are you wasting your time on the 80 auditions that aren't really, you don't really like it, you're not really feeling the script, you're going to be half-hearted, it's probably not worth your time. Better to put all the energy into the 20 and work towards. But if there was that real kind of golden number, I'd be aiming for a 20 to 1 or better, but do not feel poorly that it's 100 to 1 when you're first getting started.
Yeah, I appreciate that, because I think that's always good to know, because I'll be honest with you. I think that 20 to 1, that's got to be an elite group that you have. And maybe it's not, I don't know, but I know, and it could be too, because, you know, I do work with a lot of new and upcoming voice actors. So, you know, when you get to a place in your voiceover career, you're always going to want to get coaching, but you know, you're to a place for a reason. Right. So, a lot of the people I work with are on that lower end. And to go back to that other thing though, that you said, I would say though, just to put a caveat there is that, you know, you might be someone who's brand new, who doesn't know what to do or doesn't know where you fit in. You know what I mean? And in that case, do you still recommend, and this is kind of leads to that, do you still recommend voices? So we talked about this briefly, I think, in our last one, but I wanted to ask you about this one. If you're brand new, right? And you know, because there's a, like you said, you're just coming into this, you don't necessarily have the best equipment or yet or anything, but you're brand new. Do you recommend voices.com for someone who's brand new?
I definitely think you gotta build this out in stages. So I would recommend first get the coaching,
right?
Then record some demos, even if they're your first demos, and make sure you have the home studio set up, which I'd love to be able to talk to you. If you have those things together, I would almost say that they are prerequisites at this point, because let's face it, if you don't have a home studio, how are you doing these auditions? You're not recording them from your iPhone.
Coming across people on your platform that are doing that?
No, because there's a annual membership fee of a couple $100 up front. Most people would say, yeah, until I've got these basics in place, it's all it's they're really not ready yet. I mean, it's we don't, you know, we to the point of I guess, you know, discouraging someone, you know, I don't want to discourage someone, but yet at the same time, you know, as we've been, I think, trying to talk about through this whole session here today, setting the right expectation that you need to have the home studio. You really are going to be best putting your best foot forward with a demo that's been you know, worked on and produced probably after you've taken some coaching sessions. So I would do those first, and then you're going to feel a lot better about and really have that kind of routine down, that capability. So once you're there, though, I mean, Voices is a great place. We want to be the place where you get your first job. That would be, you know, nothing make me happier than that, than being like people saying, I landed my first voiceover job ever, and then built a career. Now, of course, we hope people stay with us for the long haul, but sometimes, as you said, you end up building a book of clients that, you know, there's so much repeat business. Maybe you're weighing the kind of time cost of like, do I want to keep doing auditions, or do we want to service my existing clients? And most people kind of get to a stage where there's just so much repeat business. They might maintain a profile, but they're auditioning less than maybe they once did.
No, I totally listen. I have you here. I'm a geek. I think I'm a total geek when it comes to the business side of things too. I mean, anybody who listens to the podcast and knows me and everything, I love the business, in which we've talked about that a little bit here too, the business aspect of things. So I was wondering, just because, you know, I think voices.com is so great. What with everything and all these places popping up and that big new, when Backstage, what had bought Voice123 and all this stuff, I'm really interested. Voices.com has seemed kind of very, you know, it's been very like a steady ship, you know, going through. What's the future? Do you have is there a future to Voices.com that, I mean, you can't allude to, but you can? Is there any interesting things coming up? I mean, you know, that, because like you, I know that you guys did add, you know, the extra services with the editing. I don't know how is the audio. I don't know how the audio editing is going with the extra services, but I don't know. I'd just be interested, because like I said, I'm a geek when it comes to business. I love to see what innovative things, you know, moving forward. So do you have anything that you can talk about?
Yeah, sure. I mean, so you're right. Last year we expanded our categories. I mean, to audio, add in audio production and editing, music production, including like sound logos and jingles, as well as translation, because a lot of work, especially for corporate training or some kind of e-learning content, or an even short form ads, the client had the script in English and they were looking for it to be translated and recorded in another language. So we wanted to support all of that. Yeah, they're off to a solid start. I mean, I mean, we've been doing voiceover for 18 years, believe it or not, since 2005. Wow. So I think we're known for voiceover. Probably pretty hard to, you know, kind of see that type of overnight success and wild adoption. It's almost like clients like, oh, that's really handy. Thank you for letting me know. Now I have the one place to go to get more of this type of creative work done. So I think, you know, there's, you know, we're definitely realizing that the strength is in voice. And so the one question we're trying to ask ourselves are there other ways that clients could hire a talent?
Yeah.
You know, right now it's a job posting and a response basis. There's lots of, you know, kind of, you know, directories where someone can just hire somebody almost as if they're like hiring them off their demo, which we've heard of is like, you know, again, the holy grail of, I just want to wake up and be hired, you know, and someone listened to my demo. They said, yes, you're the one I want to work with. Mm-hmm. And then just be able to kind of accept the job and get going. So that's the kind of, I know I'm being a little bit theoretical here, but it's the kind of thing that we know talent would love, because of the effort that goes into auditioning. How do we reduce that effort and help more people get hired more often? And then it simplifies the process as well for the client. They can kind of get, you know, less kind of back and forth. So, you know, it's definitely working. Well over, you know, I think 600,000 jobs completed on Voices over the last, you know, couple of years. How do we you know, how do we get that to a million? How do we reduce any friction and make it a smoother process? So that's really where our heart and mind is at this point. So still staying true to voiceover, that's for sure.
No, that's awesome. Thank you for telling us that. This is out there too, but have you guys, I've talked a little bit about NFTs. Have you even thought at all about NFTs or talked about it or see, like, is there a place that you guys have seen NFTs fitting in anywhere?
Yeah, I think we're, this is an area around, let's call it like licensing and usage, uh-huh. where we say this MP3 or WAV file is the original digital asset, right? It's the authentic digital asset. And therefore it's going to be licensed out on an annual basis or for specific applications to a client. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole licensing and usage is completely the honor system right now. There is no tracking of it. It's completely the honor system. The union's done it that way. Any non-union, whether they're it's an agent or not, basically people are using Excel spreadsheets and or like the little black book of like, I'm writing down all my clients. We've seen it and we've heard it. So I think whether it's an NFT or whether it's some other type of licensing and kind of usage management system, definitely view that there's an opportunity for there and one that that we hope to, what we're already investigating and kind of go through this, what we call a discovery phase, but hope to develop something that's more tangible for this year as well.
No, I'm right on board with that because I think that that's a great, I mean, no matter, even me, I mean, most of us, especially who are just, you know, freelancers or doing it, you know, one person businesses too, or representing ourselves. You're right. It's completely honor system. And a lot of times it can be abused. There's not, I mean, what are you going to do? Try to chase someone halfway around the world. And, you know, and I do think NFTs could be a great way to open up a world, a system that can be anywhere in the world, as opposed to different countries with different laws, because then there's all the laws thing that goes into effect. So, you know, I'm from this country, so I don't have to pay that. And, you know, you're like, come on, man. So, but I like that. Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at NFTs too. I just was wondering, any idea with Meta? Have you thought about Meta or just the alternate reality space at all?
Whether it's virtual reality, augmented reality, I mean, this is really for voiceover, it's character development usually, you know, or maybe like an audio avatar, like sometimes people putting voices on or, you know, again, there's some of these scenarios like have, I mean, for virtual reality, we've done actually quite a fair amount of this, but it's been more like through a headset, like a choose your own. It's been like very game based or very training based, like scenario, choose your own adventure, all pre-recorded. So that's as far as we've taken it, but not, no kind of, you know, direct ties into building something specifically on like in the Facebook or,
Metaverse. No, that's cool. It was something that's intrigued me with, us as voice actors getting to a place where it's like a whole nother world that they would need marketing for and all these things.
So for
when that's built out later on, it's something cool. I did want to get, sorry, I know I got off topic, but I did want to get back to the cool graph, another cool graph. We got a lot of cool stuff on here. I know that, you know, we taught, there's the live directed session software that we had. And there's also the home studio stuff, which to me is always very, I think any voice actor, the part of them is a gear junkie and a studio junkie. So kind of tell me your thought process behind these next two things. So the next thing we're talking about is the live directed session. I don't see a lot of people actually talking about it, but I'm glad that you did because, you know, we all do live directed sessions. So
yeah, I mean, like, listen, I think the live directed session is really a means of communicating. There's kind of a couple flavors of them, right? It just means the client just wants to communicate with you in real time while you're recording on your end. Yeah. And that can be done with Zoom, Skype, FaceTime, Google Meet, Microsoft Teams. You don't need fancy software. You have free software out there that can enable a two-way basically video call while you're recording the session on your end. Then there's the remote recording software like an ISDN or Source Connect where you're actually hitting kind of record on your end, but it's being recorded to a hard drive or a piece of software at another location.
Yes.
And so there's candidly fewer of those sessions. Most of them, the client just wants to be able to communicate with you in real time.
Yes.
So nearly half of all the quote unquote live directed sessions were just Zoom, right? They just wanted to give you some artistic direction, you know, hit this word harder, speed it up, slow it down, these type of things.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
This concept, I just wouldn't be intimidated by a client asking about these. I'd say be ready, be prepared, and know the difference. Do you just want to give me some direction in real time, or do you want to have like a studio to studio connection, which is where Source Connect would come in?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I also want to say to people listening that, you know, a lot of times you just need to also recommend, you know, because there are times where you're working with a client, and because, let's be honest, we're working online and we're trying to give directions or take directions via written word, it doesn't always come across as easy. So we might struggle trying to get exactly what the customer wants. That's where I've had many times where I've recommended, hey, let's just hop on, let's do a live session so that we can do this in real time. This will solve a lot of issues. A lot of times the clients are actually happy to pay, you know, the $50 or $100, whatever you're charging for 30 minutes or so for a live session, just so that they get, you know, they can hear you and direct you or talk to you. And I find that now people aren't even as interested. Sometimes they don't really even need to see you if you're worried about being seen. You know, I'd set up in my studio a camera so I could be seen in my booth as well as outside my booth where I, before I'm renovating, because I'm still in the truck anyways. But you know, that was a way. But later as I went along, people just really wanted to be able to talk and listen to what I was doing so they can direct me while I was doing it, as opposed to, you know, this other stuff. I mean, phone patch is really at this point an old term for all of these things, basically. Mm-hmm. It's just being able to connect, you know, and so I do like this because I think it's important that people aren't as nervous about it, or you got to rip off the band-aid and go for it. I'm really excited to get into the home studio stuff that you put on here. So you've got a really nice graph on here, little pie chart, and talking about the studio. So talk to me a little bit about what you found with this home studio, the price that people are paying, and maybe how that, equivalates to them and their success.
Yeah, well, I think this was surprising. I think there's this impression that everybody need to spend tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars off the bat. Basically, roughly speaking, half of the talent surveyed have spent, you know, less than $1,000 on their home studio. Now, we don't define whether that's on the microphone or soundproofing. But I think that shows to you, and I think we have kind of total of, 80% of people spent less than $10,000. So let's just call it, you know, 10,000 is on the high end. Probably at that point, you've upgraded your, you know, the studio, the computer, soundproofed a booth or have some kind of recording space, probably spent a couple hundred dollars on a microphone, and then are using some type of software that's, you know, a paid version. You know, you've got your audio interface in there as well too. So, yeah. I mean, you've probably taken every piece of the recording studio and upgraded it. But I think you can actually get pretty far with $1,000 is one of the takeaways, that I saw, again, from a couple years ago. But the top three brands of the most, well, first off, the top types of microphones, 40% of people have on their voices profile are a condenser microphone. Another 40% are USB microphones, and then cardioid, dynamic, and ribbon after that. But the top three brands are Blue, Rode, and Audio-Technica. I think Blue is only USB microphones.
Yes,
Rode, I know, has both. Audio-Technica has both as well, too. So, you know, this notion that everybody needs a Neumann U87 or something and spends $3,000 on it is even those that do that, interestingly, it's probably because it's like they've accumulated these
exactly
the equipment over a lifetime. You know, there's, I think 1% of the talent had spent over $100,000, sure. but this was a lifetime of equipment.
I agree. Or they've done, or what I find too, is a lot of them end up buying the equipment because they've been successful. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? Like, that's right. Cause you know, usually you start off buying that equipment, you know what I mean? Like you said, cause I've worked with a lot of people who end up buying that equipment, but they bought it because they've been successful and have the money now to buy it. So for you don't sure. need that to be successful. Absolutely. I will say though, that it does, you know, as you go through voiceover, you will find that that quality does help you. I mean, oh, yeah. it would be really cool if you guys did, when you talked about that, the top tier, you know, doing like, you know, for every 20, they were getting a job. Really would be interesting to see what they were using for gear. You know what I mean? To see, you know, what they, you know, you'd probably be surprised. There's probably some who, you know, remember space wise, there's also, this is something I learned in theater too. There are some people, no matter who they are, no matter what equipment they use, they're going to sound good. So this is, their voices match well. Like you could put, I've worked with people, you put a microphone on them, a cheap mic, and they still, it sounds pristine. Mm-hmm. Whereas other people, it sounds like, you know, a very poor microphone. So it's really interesting. Some people are just that way. Your space, acoustics, how your frequencies, your voice match your area. But yeah, no, I love this. I love this chart. So if you, I know you guys are listening to the podcast, but as you look, you know, on the article that we will have linked in the podcast, does give a really nice chart about the different prices. And it is shock. I mean, the 1,000 to 10,000, which is probably, you know, where them people, you know, gravitate to next, you know, is pretty filled out. So it's really a very small part of the chart, right? That's above 10,000. So
yeah, it's like 15% or less has spent 10,000.
And that just goes to show you the difference today, you know, with equipment. So summing everything up, this has been, it's always a blast talking to you, man. I appreciate it. And thank you for your time. And you know, what do you, I think just as we finish up, you know, moving forward, as we have, again, a lot of new people coming, a lot of people who are trying to get their business kicked off. I think it's kind of, we've talked about it. I mean, if I would say coaching, you know, if I would say what you thought, you know, your advice would be, you know, grab that coaching and everything. But is there any other, you know, tips or tricks for anyone, you know, whether it's on voices or just starting the voiceover business in general?
I think, you know, be the sponge at the beginning here, and probably, mm-hmm. you know, the lifelong learner. This type of information is, as kind of shared in the state of the industry, the VO industry, mm-hmm. for 2022, is really helping you set the expectation that no matter where you are, here's some guidance on the types of things that you should be thinking about: getting a coach, investing, you know, probably, you know, $1,000 at the beginning in terms of the home studio, then upgrading as you go. Then when it comes to doing those auditions, thinking about doing 7 auditions a day. You know, generally the faster the better, but pick the ones that appeal to you, that that you feel that you're a good fit for, that you can turn around quickly.
Yeah.
And those auditions really only need to be 15, 30 seconds. That's, you know, that when we look at kind of the actual time frame, it's somewhere in that 30 seconds. Might even be multiple takes in there. You don't need to slate. We don't find you need to slate, because your name, right. whether you're on Voices or any other platform, your name's right there. So the client knows who you are. I think, you know, be bold, be willing to go out there and you know, you just yeah. don't know what that next, you know, what that client is hearing in their head. And that's what's so hard, that we believe that we're doing all the right things, and sometimes it just doesn't click because it's not what the client wants. Yes. It's not a rejection of you. It's a decision for the client to go into another direction. Hence why you got to just, wake up another day, you know, those another a handful of auditions. So that's what I would encourage people to view auditioning as, the work, and really the joy is landing those gigs when they come in.
Awesome. I love it. Hey, David, thank you so much for your time, my friend. I appreciate it. You have a great week, and I look forward to, you know, doing another podcast with you soon.
There you go. You know what? Thanks, Anthony.
All right. Thanks, my friend.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to today's podcast episode. And I want to thank David Cicerelli and Voices.com for being amazing and coming on the show. If you get an opportunity, please feel free to go to iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to and leave a review. It's always very helpful. And to check out more information about the article that we were talking about in today's episode, there'll be a link below. And you can always check out Avio's Journey by heading to our website and our Academy, Avio's Journey Elite Academy. There'll be another link below for that as well. But thank you guys so much for watching. You have a wonderful, wonderful week, and I will talk to you soon. Peace!